So I think the good way to learn is fast is just to talk to industry professionals and talk to friends or colleagues in the field to acquire this basic knowledge as fast as possible. And then this can lay a very good foundation for us to become a personnel or experienced scientist in the field.
Hey, smart biotech scientists, welcome back. We are in the middle of a conversation about downstream process development. And Wei Zheng, who is the DSB Group Head at A-Star Bioprocessing Technology Institute in Singapore, is explaining how we can produce cost-efficient and robust downstream processes. And if you haven't listened to part one of our conversation yet, please go back. And today, we are continuing our journey and diving into the specifics of different modalities. So stay tuned. Are you juggling the complexities of CMC development while trying to enjoy the beauty of biotech? Have you ever wondered if there's a way to simplify bioprocessing? Welcome to the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast, where we're diving headfirst into the very challenges you face. We're breaking it down, demystifying the jargon, and giving you the keys to unlock your full potential. I'm your host, David Brohlman, and I get it. With 15 plus years in the biotech industry, I face the same challenges you do. There's a way to simplify and streamline so you can remove complexity, you can skip trials and errors, deliver without delay your groundbreaking therapy to clinics at market, and still enjoy every single step. Do you want to learn how industry experts and I did it? Grab a cup of coffee and your favorite notebook and pen. Now is the time to take your bioprocessing game to the next level. Let's smarten up biotech. Now I'd like to shift gear a bit, Wei, and let's look at three different modalities a bit more specifically, because if we look at the production of viruses, this can be very challenging because of their complex nature. So what are the unique considerations and strategies biotech scientists should consider when they're purifying viral particles?
Yeah, I think virus purification is not easy because it has its own unique challenges compared to like protein or antibody purification. So I think firstly, we need to consider the stability of a virus. Viruses, especially the amyloid virus, can be sensitive to physical and chemical stress such as high salt, low pH. So normally gentle purification methods are often required to maintain the integrity or infectivity of the viral particles after purification. Secondly, it's also relatively more challenging to remove a whole cell impurity like whole cell proteins, nucleic acid in viral purification. That's because most of the virus are negatively charged on their surface, and the same as nucleic acid and the majority of whole cell proteins. So purification process need to be designed carefully in order to efficiently remove these whole cell impurities. Another unique challenge for virus purification is that it's very challenging to do virus removal for viral clearance in virus purification, because viral removal is normally achieved by set inclusion method like a nanofiltration. However, for viral purification, the size of our target virus can be similar to the model viruses when needed. We need to spec in virus or in viral clearance. So in such scenario, the size cut-off based method like nanofiltration techniques doesn't work anymore. So we need to develop something alternative techniques for virus removal in virus purification.
So what would be these alternative technologies?
Yeah, so traditionally, virus purification, virus have been purified by precipitation, ultracentrifugation, or density gradient centrifugation. But all these techniques has the limitation, especially the scaling up. So I think nowadays people are developing more, leveraging more on column-based method, filtration-based method, or even enzymatic digestion-based method, so which are really scalable and effective to remove impurities and also effectively separate virus or other whole cell impurities.
Now, moving on to RNA, what are the key techniques and innovations in RNA purification?
So again, I would like to say that techniques and innovations in RNA purification evolves with the advancement of RNA therapeutics. I think before COVID, when we talk about RNA-based therapeutics, we all refer to like ASOs, isRNAs, or even microRNAs. But they are all substranded RNAs. They can be produced by chemical synthesis, followed by very simple purification. But nowadays, when we're talking about RNA therapeutics, we all know that we are mainly talking about like long-stranded mRNA messenger RNAs, which has been used for the COVID-19 vaccines. I think one of the key technology or innovation in RNA purification is the accessibility of RNA affinity ligands. It really can simplify or accelerate RNA purification from the post-IVT or in vitro transcription process. So because the ligand can selectively bind to poly A tails on mRNA structure and then give us the high purity and also high yield of isolated RNA molecules. But I would say that the RNA purification field is still in its infancy. So there are still many problems that biotech scientists are facing now in mRNA production. So for example, in the downstream purification field, we still have the challenge to how to remove like double-stranded RNA and how to produce and purify like circular RNA. There are still many problems, and the researchers or industry professionals in the field still working hard in order to develop new tools or new workflows for RNA, especially circular RNA purification.
Now, since a lot of people are focusing on mRNA purification, I'm just wondering, what about the more traditional vaccines, you know, the viral antigens vaccines, for instance? Are there any advancements going on as well on the downstream side?
I think it's tied back to what we discussed just now. So traditionally for like inactivated virus purification, inactivated virus vaccine purification, or even attenuated virus purification, people highly rely on like precipitation, like PEG precipitation method, or using ultra-centrifugation, like density gradient centrifugation, like sucrose, calcium chloride centrifugation. But all these methods are not scalable, so it's not easy to scale up 100 liters or even higher. But nowadays, people are really relying on more like a scalable method for this purification, like a column-based or filtration-based method in order to scale up the process. And also, column-based method can offer a higher separation efficiency that lead to the better drug safety and also accuracy in the end.
Now, speaking about a scale-up, what can you advise to our listeners who might be working in R&D? What are the key considerations when developing a downstream process in order to make the scale-up more seamless and also, I'd say, easier to do?
I think in order to scale up the process, we need to bear the mindset, scale-up mindset in the laboratory scale of process development. So for example, for all the unit operation we choose to be involved in the process and even all the raw materials we utilize in our process development must be have their equivalent version GMP-grade materials that can be used in the eventual GMP production. Another thing is that I think it's very essential to cooperate with the scientists, with engineers, or even production technicians in the process development, need to talk to them and also coordinate with them in order to smoothly develop and transit the process from lab scale to pilot scale to eventually the production scale.
And what are the pitfalls to watch out for instance, when selecting a certain type of resin or a certain type of equipment?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think for process developments that aim at the final commercialization production, we need to strike a balance between cost and also the quality. So we shouldn't be just cost-driven to save the cost, also cannot just be quality-driven. So we need to strike balance between these two. So of course, in order to achieve the good balance between these two, we need to do the careful analysis at the laboratory scale when we do the process development. So we try our best to choose the cost-effective raw materials processes to build in our process. But at the same time, we need to do a very good evaluation of the process performance, which can give a good, we cannot compromise the quality at the same time.
Excellent. Now, Wei, let's look into the future. A lot of things have been going on in the downstream field, as we've highlighted, new modalities, new technologies. Where do you see the downstream processing evolve to, let's say, in 5 to 10 years from now?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So I think in my mind that continuous chromatography or another continuous bioprocessing techniques are expected to become more widely accepted and adopted. Yeah, so it's a hot topic. People have been talking about now continuous downstream processing. And also in terms of chromatography, I would say that mixed mode chromatography will be more applied. So although mixed mode chromatography is not that widely used in monoclonal antibody purification, but I would say that it can play a much bigger role in purification of new drug modalities because mixed mode chromatography combines multiple modes of interaction on a single resin. So it offers its unique selectivity, which enables the more efficient purification process and also potentially further reduce the numbers of purification steps. I would like also to say that because just now I mentioned that currently the tools for new drug modalities like for virus purification or RNA purification still rely on the old techniques that developed for protein purification. So I would like to say that in the next 5 or 10 years, there will be more advancements in purification tools that dedicatedly developed for vaccines, for gene therapies, or for RNA-based therapeutics.
And in addition to the continuous chromatography, the mixed mode chromatography and the tools you're mentioning, where do you see AI or machine learning coming in or digitization in general in the downstream processing?
Yeah, I think it's a very good question and also a very popular topic in process development. So for example, for downstream process development, currently we still rely on like old tools like DOEs or even one factor at a time. So actually we need to do many repeated process or runs in order to come out with optimal conditions for purification process. But with the assistance of AI or modeling, then definitely we can shorten the process or timelines needed for purification process development, which can provide very good prediction of the sweet spot in process conditions that are good for one particular drug or one particular molecule purification. So basically, with the assistance of AI and modeling, we definitely can shorten the timeline and also provide a good prediction for process development.
Let's make this a very practical way. For someone who's listening and is about to start downstream development, what would be the first few steps that person should take?
To need to learn a lot of knowledge or skills from different disciplines that I mentioned at the very beginning, we need to know the knowledge in like chemistry or chemical engineering, or even biology. So I think the good way to learn is fast is just to talk to industry professionals and talk to friends or colleagues in the field to acquire this basic knowledge as fast as possible. And then this can lay a very good foundation for us to become a personnel or experienced scientist in the field.
All right, smart biotech scientists, start with tapping into the wealth of knowledge out there. Now, Wei, as we have covered so much ground today, what is the number one thing you want us to take away from this conversation?
I think I want to stress again that bioprocess development is a form of process science. It's a field that is relatively easy to start to enter, but it also requires years of efforts and a wealth of knowledge to excel in. So it's not easy to do good.
Wow, great. Thank you so much for sharing all these insights, Wei. Where can people connect with you?
You can connect me via my LinkedIn account. I do check my LinkedIn account regularly. And also feel free to reach me via my corporate email address, zhang_wei@bti.a-star.edu.sg.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Wei. You will have the information down in the show notes. Please do reach out to Wei. And once again, Wei, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thank you, David.
All right, smart scientists. That's all for today on the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast. Thank you for tuning in and joining us on your journey to bioprocess mastery. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. By doing so, we can empower more scientists like you. For additional bioprocessing tips, visit us at smartbiotechscientist.com. Stay tuned for more inspiring biotech insights in our next episode. Until then, let's continue to smarten up biotech.